Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Today's guest is a returning comic who has soared since we first had her on our podcast in the early days, first year. Leslie Robb travels all over the country and abroad. She's been seen on the Bored Teachers Comedy Tour, Teachers Do Stand-Up Tour, The Unknown Tour, Spirit FM's Night of Love and Laughter, ABC's The Tamron Hall Show, Dry Bar Comedy, Teachers Off Duty Podcast, and ABC's Good Morning America. And now she's back. This time as an internationally touring headliner making her way to the Massanutten Comedy Club on June 12th. A former teacher turned powerhouse comedian, Leslie is known for her sharp wit, infectious energy, and authentic storytelling that bridges the classroom to comedy on stage. She continues to use her unique blend of humor and heart to light up audiences everywhere. Let's catch up with Leslie Robb and hear what life looks like on the road, in the writer's room, and beyond the mic. Welcome to the show, Leslie. It's great to have you on today.
Oh, it's great to be here. It just cracks me up when you do my intro. I'm like, I'm impressed. I'm like, are you sure you mean me? I mean, let's just be real.
You've been doing some things since you were last on here.
A few things.
And teaching that whole time.
Yeah.
And you're still teaching full time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get into this and dig into how you balance everything from touring all over the globe to teaching.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot.
I would imagine. Before we get into it, real quick, what age do you teach?
I currently teach high school, 9th through 12th grade. So ages average 14 to 18. 21 if they're not quite there. Anyway.
Yeah. So there are some exceptions.
Yeah, there are some exceptions. Yes. Yes.
That's good. Well, before we get into this, laughers, I just want to tell you that we have some exciting news. I've been accepted for the Audible Creator Program, which means you get a free audiobook. And when you sign up for a free trial with Audible, we get a little kickback that helps the show grow so we can get more amazing content out there for you and other laughers as our community continues to grow. So thank you so much for all that you do to make this happen for us and help get all this amazing content out there, like the guest we have today. So excited
that
to have you back.
Awesome.
Yes, awesome. It is awesome. Welcome back. I have been in touch with you over these years. You've come to some other shows between that time.
Yeah.
You know, in between the last time you were here on the podcast. And certainly it is so fun to watch you on social media just soar. Plus your videos about teacher life are completely entertaining and super fun. And so whether you are a teacher or not, laughers, that comedy will brighten your day because it is such facts that she is positive energy and completely infectious. So
That's awesome. I don't know who she's talking about, but apparently it's me. So
you come to Massanutten Resorts Comedy Club. You will see exactly what I mean. I mean, people will travel seriously hours to come see you. That's not a joke. I mean, that's for real.
Yeah, no, so. I've heard some people in the audience say that before, so it's kind of crazy.
I would mind blow me too if somebody said that. I would be, what? Then also flattering. I would just be like, for me, you got to be kidding. That's amazing. I love you.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, apparently.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
You just were in Hawaii. Now, what were you doing in Hawaii? That's why we had to do it today versus last week. So what was happening?
So I had to do I had a comedy show in Hawaii. One of the pastor's wife of the church that I was doing my comedy at, had followed, she's a teacher, and followed me on social media. And so I saw that obviously that I do comedy. And she was like, I would just love to have you out to our church. And I was like, yeah, right. I actually thought she was a scam at first. I was like, you want me to come to Hawaii? Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds good. It's, give me a call.
Yeah. Like, let me get right on that. I'm like, nice try. And I blocked her. I legit blocked her.
You really didn't believe her. Mm-hmm. Thought she was like a little wackadoodle or something.
Yep. And she was like, but I sent a really detailed email so that you would know I wasn't. Yeah. And I was like, and that's why it made it even creepier. Cause you sent like detailed emails with links to prove that you are who you say you were. And I was like, people usually don't do that right off the bat. Oh, yeah. But eventually I ended up, you know, sending an email and saying, okay, if you're really who you say you are, call me at this number. And so she called me and I was like, oh, sorry. So yeah. So yeah. That's how I ended up in Hawaii. And so I have something called Epic Ladies Night, which is a women's ministry / comedy. It's a women's comedy ministry. It's a night of comedy and encouragement for women. And so she didn't want a teacher comedy show. She wanted that instead. So I was like, okay, cool. So it's kind of crazy how the one is feeding the other. And so it's just amazing. Yeah.
The Epic, I was going to ask you about that anyway. So it's good that you brought that up. So the Epic Night Ladies Tour, how is that different from the teacher stand-up? For me, I just think teacher stand-up. We have a bunch of teachers up there that do comedy too, and they're entertaining the crowd for somewhere between 75 to 90 minutes, and it's a wonderful, hilarious show, and that's pretty much what the teaching tour gigs are about, right?
So, okay, like, so my teacher comedy night gigs are like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so then the Epic Night.
It's separate. So there's two different things. So like I've always wanted to do my teacher comedy, but I also have a heart for women's ministry. It's always been my goal. And so the fact that I get to do both. And so it was honestly a blessing because of the fact that I feel like God showed me that literally like the reason it works is because the teacher field is mostly women. So it feeds the women's ministry. I didn't even know it on purpose. I mean, it just ended up doing like that. And so I was like, okay. And so it ended up working out really well. So now I have Epic Ladies Night, and then I have, the Epic Ladies Night tour is its own thing. And then I have my teacher comedy tour, which is separate. Because a lot of times, especially with school districts and legislation and stuff like that, you can't muddy the waters when it comes to religion and teaching. So I keep them separate.
I got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then at your Epic Lady, what is it? How do you say it again? Epic
Ladies? It's Epic Ladies Night.
Epic Ladies Night. Are those all female comedians?
Yes. Yeah.
It's tailored completely to women. Okay.
Yeah.
So it'll be you and another two or three comics.
Three comics. Yes. Yeah, so it's four of us per show.
Okay. And do you switch them up or is it? Okay.
Yep. I have a roster that I work from.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, it's definitely a different and a unique approach to the whole comedy realm. So, yeah, because they do comedy and then they tell their story. And so it's comedy and encouragement to help women to see they're not alone in the load that they're carrying. So they're lightening their load with laughter. And so the women will share their comedy and then they share their story. And you're like, wait, what? She doesn't even look like she's been through that. So it's to help them know that they're not alone in the struggles that they're dealing with. So it's really good. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that started last year?
First show was actually this year. Our first show was February 1st.
That's amazing. I think you have another three or four this year.
Yeah. So we have one coming up in Stafford, Virginia. We have one coming up in Bethalto, Illinois. And we also have one. Where's the other one? I think Indiana. But yeah, so literally, you know, it's starting to take off. So it's amazing. I'm just so excited to be able to help women to break that that what I call perceived perfectionism that is Christianity, that's just not. So I want women to know that you don't have to be perfect. Like, it's just not a thing, because that's what kept me in bondage for so many years. And so I want to break that for other women. So, and that's my way of doing it. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. I think that is one hang up for not just Christians, people outside the faith can be too. It's this assumption you make a decision for Christ and now you're without problems and struggles and you're perfect. And if you're not, then you're not being a Christian. And that's not the way that it is. None of us can be perfect. Not even one of us.
No.
Will ever be perfect. So
on any level.
Yep. So you can love Jesus and you will be imperfect.
100%. And whether you believe it or not, it will.
We can aspire. We can get better. We should be compassionate to ourselves when we make mistakes and always strive to do the best we can and make the best choices. But we are flawed human beings who come from some messy backgrounds. And
And that's what a lot of the women share. Yeah. Like when a church goes to book us, I always talk to the pastor's wife or whoever's in charge of the women's ministry. And I let them know right up front, we're not some cookie cutter mainstream media tour. This is like we share some tough things. Mm. Yes, the women do make the women laugh, and but they also get to encourage them with their stories. So, yeah.
I love. And how do you find the women with the stories? That can also do stand-up comedy.
Yeah, exactly. So thankfully for the Christian Comedy Association, I had I've connected with several women who have a killer stories. Like what they've been through and where they've come is just mind-blowing. It's definitely a God thing. And so they share their comedy and then they tell their story that way. And so I with our show that we had in February, we had our first one in February, and mid-show, two women came to me and they were in tears. They were like, this is not what we thought this was going to be. Like, this is amazing. Like, I had no idea. And then at the end of that show as well, a lady came up to us and she's like, you have no idea what happened in the back row. Like, we just all like felt like almost like our shoulders were relaxed and we could just, it's a safe space. And we all didn't even know each other, but we started sharing our stories with each other. And it was just like such a safe space in here. And I'm like, and that's what it's about. And it was so diverse. So all the ladies are diverse. Like, we have various backgrounds, but then the audience is also diverse. And so it's just amazing. One lady said she regarded it as, this is what heaven's going to look like. Aww. A bunch of imperfect people together from different backgrounds.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying we're all a hot mess express.
100%. And if we're not saying it, that means we're just not owning it, because it's true.
Because it's totally true.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're in denial. Got it.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, bless your heart.
But we've been in that position, in that seat too, where we're unaware.
100%, which is why
we can't judge them, because we've been in that seat too.
Yep, that's exactly why I do what I do.
That is,
because I was that person that, you know, was perceiving perfection and wanted to be perfect, and you know, this blah blah blah. No, it's not a thing.
It's not a thing. And perfectionism can be out of trauma too, oftentimes.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly where mine stemmed from, childhood trauma.
Yep. Same here. Yep. Same here. And that's why we will not edit out all the imperfections of this podcast and why we haven't for 4 years.
I love it. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. Yes,
I almost didn't get this podcast started because I was in that mode. And my therapist, actually kind of gentle push, you know, what is your hesitation?
That's awesome.
It's your hesitation. You know, she gave me a couple of different options. I can't remember what those were, but I remember one of the things she said, or are you holding back because you don't think it's perfect yet, you know, to launch it. And the latter was true. And it was just that gentle push, then consider launching it now. And now here we are.
Look at that. And if you're waiting for it to be perfect, you may have never started.
Exactly. It's still not perfect, but I also think that's the charm of it.
Yeah.
You know, we're in this life together, laughers.
Yeah.
We're in it together. So let's find out more about this teaching and touring balance. Holy cow. What are the what are the biggest shifts that have been in your life as this keeps, you know, growing and swelling your comedy side business along with teaching full time? What have some shifts that you have had to make to, or what have you figured out helps you balance it all the most?
Honestly, the most like that has shifted is the lack of sleep. That has shifted. That has 100% shifted. So yeah, we'll start with that. But with the comedy and the teaching, the hardest thing has been to figure out a balance, a healthy balance, simply because teaching is not your 9 to 5 where you can take off and have PTO.
That's true.
Teaching is a daily thing, and it's, you have to be there. Like, and with the sub shortage, teacher shortage, there isn't an opportunity to be like, oh, just kidding, I'm not coming today. But honestly, what ended up happening is I had a supportive administrator and a supportive school system, out here in Spotsy County, shout out. And so they are super supportive. So they have allowed me, once my days had expired, because what some people don't realize is as a teacher, you only get 2 personal days per year.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only 2 personal days. So anything else is either leave with no pay or sick leave. And if sick leave is very, very, very heavily mandated in how you use it. Mm. So, yeah. So I've been doing a lot of days, no pay to get my comedy gigs, you know. But now, which this will be the first public place I've said it, I'm not going back to teaching next year.
You are so, not?
No. 17 years of teaching, and this is my last year. So,
wow.
Yeah, comedy has taken off to the point where there's no way. So the fact that you're asking, how do you keep, I can't. That's why. that's why the shift needs to happen.
Okay.
So I'm shifting out of the classroom this year. So
okay.
Yeah.
This oh my last gosh. Year. So that's gonna be an interesting evolving journey for you.
Yes. 17 years
and you're a retired teacher, and a lot of your comedy and a lot of the videos that you make have been about that life. So I'm sure you've already thought about this. How is that going to evolve once you retire from teaching?
Well, I'll still be teaching. I'll be substitute teaching. So rather than being full time, I'm still going to teach as a sub, because that way it'll still balance out. Mm-hmm. So that way the school's not heavily like trying to figure out who's going to cover me this shift, or, you know, this day or that day. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not constantly having to take off. It'll be as I can.
Yeah.
So it's going to work out really well. My admin and school are super excited to have another sub.
And you can still do teacher comedy that way.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
So I'll be doing still substitute teaching, and I'll still be driving the school bus. I didn't know if you knew I'm going to do that, but yeah, I'll also be driving the school bus.
I did not do that. I'm so intimidated by that idea of driving a school bus, and I should not be driving a school bus.
Yes. So I'll be doing the bus, and I'll be doing substitute teaching. So yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that is great. Now, you've touring internationally. What was your first out of America comedian gig?
Canada. Okay. Canada was my first one. I used to do teacher videos when I lived abroad in Kuwait as well. So I don't know if that counts. But as far as stand-up itself, it was Canada. I did my first international gig was in Canada. I'm actually doing a whole Canada run this year. So it'll be super cool. So I think I have 13. No. A little less than that. I think I have 10 shows in Canada coming up. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. When is that? In the fall, I think, right?
Yeah, in the fall. Mm-hmm. Canada's in the fall.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you like about Canada when you go there?
Like, just the overall people. Like, it's just a different vibe than America.
Yeah.
It's more I don't know. It just seems more friendly to me. I don't know. It seems a little bit more, you know, relaxed in a sense. Not more so of the hustle and bustle, but, you know, especially out in the outskirts. It's just seems to be, and people are just really friendly. And so that's my thing.
You're loving it. I'm excited to watch that too. What are some other places that you have traveled outside Canada and Hawaii? You said Kuwait.
No, I haven't done stand-up comedy outside of Canada and obviously Hawaii, which is not.
Right.
Even though I was there, I kept the Uber driver asked us where we were from. I kept saying America. I don't know. Apparently, I thank you because I'm on a 12-hour flight. I've left the country, but I definitely did not. So, yeah, that was interesting. But yeah, so I haven't done comedy anywhere else.
Okay.
Now I know the Board Teachers Comedy Tour that I'm on, they were in the UK recently, and then there's other, so maybe, you never know. I may hit up a different country eventually. I'm even hoping to take Epic overseas at some point as well. So yeah.
That'll be fun.
I'm excited.
Yes, with Epic, it's at least initially more connecting with churches to put those shows on. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, you also do voice acting work or have done. Are you still doing voice acting work also?
I do voice acting work as, like PRN. I was going to say as hired or as needed, depending on the actual character as well. So the most recent, I've done two movies. One is Benny the Barnacle, and I was a sea urchin, I can't remember, it was so long ago. I was a sea snail, and that was like a couple years ago. And then this past year I was in a claymation Christmas movie. I was Mindy a muskox. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so fun. I would love to be in a Christmas claymation movie. How delightful.
Yeah.
What kind of character was who was your character? What was she like?
I was Mindy the muskox, and I was an insecure muskox who just wanted to be anything but who I was. And it's so crazy how much it resonates with me, because that's legit me. Like, I was. Now I'm doing much better, but thank God for therapy. You can love Jesus and your therapist, people. You can love Jesus and your therapist.
Amen to that. I say amen to that.
And so, yes. So with that, one of my favorite lines from the movie was when she said, she's like, I want to be skinny. Like one of those skinny girls, like a cow or a moose. It's so freaking funny.
A cow, maybe
like the skinny girls, a cow, or maybe a moose. Oh, it's so funny. So it was such an adorable character. It's such a character that I could resonate with and relate to. So it was awesome. It was a good movie. If you guys haven't seen it, it's called Steal the Naughty List. So look out for it at Christmas, or you can even probably still download it now off of Amazon Prime or any of those ones. So it's still out there.
Okay, laughers, we'll find it and we'll put that in the show notes for you as well. I think that would be really fun for all of us. I want to see it. So let's do that.
And actually, you may know some of the other comedians that were in there. Just Christian McCartney was in there.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. Christian McCartney was the Christmas ferret, which was hilarious. Bob Smiley was the snowman.
Oh my goodness.
Robert G. Lee was
comics.
Yeah.
And I know Robert G too.
Yeah, so we all were in there together. So it was a good movie.
Oh, those are very animated people. So that makes sense.
So it fits, right? It fits.
It definitely fits for sure. I want to talk about this teacher comedy that you have historically done.
Yeah.
Did you know you were going to always do stand up?
No.
Okay. So how did we get into the stand up? Refresh us on that, because it's been 4 years. And then, did it start with the teacher comedy, or did you kind of evolve into the teacher comedy? So share with us this part. part of the
journey. So stand-up comedy, I want it to be anything but on a stage and having people laugh at me.
Now look at you.
Yeah. I was literally, again, like we said, childhood trauma coming from a background of bullying and all kinds of craziness, where, you know, the teasing and the abuse and things that went on in my life, I didn't want any type of attention in that way. So it's crazy, but the Lord called me into comedy and he said, I want you to take the negativity, place it under your feet and allow it to prop you up into your place of purpose. So a lot of times if you see me on stage, a lot of what I'm laughing about or talking about on stage tends to be something that, you know, most people be like, oh my gosh, how does she even laugh about that? But it's just finding the like I always tell, if he doesn't heal you, there's a purpose in the pain. So he takes the pain and he literally enhances my purpose. So it just works. As far as getting into comedy itself, I was like, wait, what? I was like doing sketch comedy, which is, you can tell from my videos, is what I love to do. And so I was like, stand up. Like, I don't even know what that would look like. And so I started researching different Christian comedians to see what that even was, or if that was a thing or how it operates. And then I decided to start making videos because that became a platform that was a thing, where some of the Christian comedians were making videos and that's how they blew up. And so I was like, oh, let me try this. And then once I started doing that, I started doing a lot of like church comedy, a lot of church humor, and the videos would just flop, 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 flop. And then I would do a teacher video and it blew up, and then another one, and then another one. I was like, this is not of the Lord. This is not of the Lord. He would not have called me into comedy to be making teachers laugh. It is for the church. Ridiculousness. And so I was like, no. And I deleted my social media. And I said, absolutely not. Yeah, I was almost at 1,000 followers back then. And I was like, nope. And I deleted it because I was like, it's about Jesus. It is not about teachers
and all they're selling us.
Yes. And so that was back before not Christian comedy. That was back before teacher comedy was even a real like thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think about now and I'm like, oh my gosh, if I had just held on, I'd have blew up even faster. Because that's when everybody was growing in the teacher comedy world. But now it's so oversaturated.
Oh,
it's
really?
So hard to like push your way in. But praise be to God, it worked out for me to be connected with board teachers. And so, yeah, so I had no idea that it would be teacher comedy, but it shifted to that. And it's just been amazing ever since. Like, and it just comes so naturally because teaching is what I'm called to do. It's my gift. And so combining my gift of teaching with my gift of comedy is just the perfect marriage. So,
yeah. So what was the first actual stand-up gig per se that you would qualify as a stand-up performance for you? And so did you not go to class then? You just walked out on an open mic, or you just walked out on stage and said, this is my version of stand-up today, everybody?
Well, I would. Honestly, I was posting on social media-ish. Yeah. And I stumbled across a lady who said she was a Christian comedian. I was like, oh my gosh, you're living my dream. I wish I could do that. And she's like, well, why aren't you? And I was just like, And so she said to look into this thing called the Christian Comedy Association. So she said to follow the Facebook page. So I did. And they had a conference coming up. And I was like, there is no way that I'm going to be able to afford to go to Wiley, Texas. And so it ended up working out where I was able to go. And then I got there because I couldn't afford it. I was very, very in a really poor financial state. Mm-hmm. And so I remember putting in that group that I was hoping to go if anybody was looking for a roommate. Mm-hmm. And this lady reached out and said she was looking for a roommate and she would cover me. And I was like, I don't know when I could pay you back, but I could try.
Yeah.
And I was like, she helped me out. And then she's like, well, I could give you... I was like, well, now I just need a flight and figure out how to get there. And she goes, well, I just started working for American Airlines this week.
What?
And my benefits don't kick in very quickly, but I could try. So she went to her boss or whatever, and they gave me a free ticket.
Oh, my gosh. You were supposed to go.
Yeah.
Clearly.
So I got to Wiley, and the first day there, she had to leave. So I ended up being like, well, what am I supposed to do? And so literally I took my suitcase and I'm walking around CCA like a homeless person trying to find somebody to let me stay. Like Jesus in the, like Mary and Joseph. Is there any room in your inn? So I'm like trying to find a place. And so eventually one of the ladies had allowed me to stay with them. And turns out she lived in my up the street. She's still from me here in Fredericksburg, Virginia, which is so crazy. Wow. And so at that conference is where I did my first stand up. Is there. Oh, they gave me 2 minutes and I was like, okay, sure. Why not? Let's just do it. I was terrified, but I did it. I think it was 2 or 3 minutes.
How did it go?
It went well. For those, you know, like you said, you know who Robert G. Lee is. I had gotten off stage and I remember he was the first person, one of the first people I saw. And he told me, he said, great set. And I was like, what's a set? what's a set?
What does that even mean?
When people say like comedy terms, I'm like, I'm sorry. What do you mean? Explain it to me. Like, I don't get it. Yeah. So it's so funny. But yeah, but that's honestly where I met Rhonda Corey. Now, Rhonda Corey, she says that she remembers meeting me. I do not remember meeting her.
Wow.
We took a picture together, everything. So that's where I met her. She's the one that hooked me up with my friend who got me into Board Teachers.
Isn't that crazy? Oh, the connections. I love those connections. Mm-hmm. That's really great.
Mm-hmm. And that's what took me to the Cameron Hall show, to the Today show, to the Good Morning America. All of this spiraled from that. I mean, in a good way, not spiraling like normal.
Spiraling positive.
Positive.
Yes. And for laughers that love comedy or want to learn more about comedy that aren't a stand-up comedian and you want to know what a set is... Basically, what that means is a comedian has a certain number of jokes, we like to call them bits, that they plan to tell in an allotted amount of time, whatever we're given, the 2 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour special, total allotted amount of time is that compromises our list of jokes, that's the set.
Yes.
How did I get a teacher? How did I...
I kind of know that a little bit now.
How did you like my teaching? How would you grade me on that definition?
Well done.
Thank you.
Explained adequately and well.
Thank you.
Is what I say.
Okay, well done. Good. Thank you. I love that note. Now, your comedy, you said, is even already alluded to. It highlights to the realities of your life. Mm-hmm. As well as your teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know a little bit more about specifically what pops into your sets and what you talk about that laughers can look forward to.
Well, it varies. So if it's a teacher set, it varies differently from if it's a primary teacher audience, then my comedy shifts a bit. So it's more of things that only teachers would get. And then when I'm doing a general audience or even an epic audience, I shift it a bit. And so I'll keep in the teacher things that relate to everyone or that everyone can kind of relate to. Mm-hmm. But then I pull in a whole nother segment of talking about like being broken, the struggle, and like my PCOS and my infertility and all those things. So, yeah. So it's a very different transition from epic to teacher comedy. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun. I like that. I think my little puppy might be popping up here.
Oh, no worries. That's entertaining.
Let's she just came up here. Let's see if we can show her to people. Oh.
Oh, she's so cute.
This is Sprite. Oh, look.
She wants a spot.
She wants a spot on the show.
Oh my gosh, so cute.
Yes, she's a little Havanese mix. She'll be our assistant for the rest of this time, I think.
Aw, no worries.
On YouTube, you'll see her during that time. That's awesome. Now, you're a clean comedian, right? Mm-hmm. You are clean exclusively. Never afraid to tell the truth.
Nope.
Nope. How do you balance being authentic while keeping it clean, especially on the tougher topics?
So in keeping it clean, like, I want to say I there's no need to be vulgar. Mm-hmm. And so I say what is, like, it just is what it is without, you know, having to add profanity to it or having to make it more funny by making it more vulgar or making it inappropriate. Like, that's why I often say we as clean comedians work harder because mm-hmm. we have to be funny without the comfort of, you know, vulgar language or, you know, profanity. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm just straightforward and honest when it comes to my comedy. So I'm honest without being vulgar or inappropriate. Mm. That's honestly what it comes down to. There's no need to add in the profanity piece. There's no need to add in the vulgarity piece to explain the fact. Like, for example, one of my jokes, it's one of my newer jokes, is a pastor's wife, as a pastor's wife, which, yes, yay, I'm a pastor's wife. So, woohoo! Yay for that. Anyway. So,
speaking of realities.
Yeah. And so what happens is I do this joke where I'll say, you know, it's so annoying when you get those, like, you know, seasoned people in church. That woman who comes to you after church and she's like, oh my gosh, I heard about your infertility and I just pray. Mm. And then she puts her hand on my stomach that God heals your womb. And I said, I look back at her eye to eye and I put my hand on hers and I say, that's not my womb. Okay. So it's clean. It's not vulgar. But it gets the point across. Yes. So that's what I mean. You can have fun and be honest without being vulgar and inappropriate. So,
yeah. Yeah. You have been on some pretty big stages, my friend. That I love the pictures. I can't tell you. There are not enough words to describe how much I love seeing that. It really just isn't.
Thank you.
You are welcome. What is, on the opposite end of the bigness, what is one small unexpected venue or moment that really moved you or reminded you why you love comedy that comes to mind?
Oh gosh, there's so many moments.
I bet. But, if a couple comes to mind, that's great too. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many moments. I think what hits most is the teacher who came to me and she said to me that her husband had committed suicide the year before he was a principal. Oh, and the stress from the job really just got to him and he just couldn't take it anymore. And how she stumbled across my account and she said she was able to laugh through her grief. Like it brought her laughter and joy and just kind of just helped her as she was coping with her grief. Another lady said that they had lost a student to gun violence one day. And so she knew that if she put my page on, it can make her laugh and kind of just escape for a bit from the loss. I mean, I'm telling you, I have story after story of the people, you know, that comedy has like blown my mind. Mm-hmm. One thing that I will say on a happier note is that was very impactful to me is my very first time in a theater doing comedy for board teachers. They needed someone because someone had backed out. They needed someone to sub in from the East Coast. And I was like, that's when my friend Andrea, who is now my friend, but at the time we were just acquaintances through Rhonda Corey. And so Andrea reached out to me and said, hey, board teachers need someone who's on the East Coast as a teacher comic. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I'm sorry, me? And I think at that time I may have done comedy twice since that one time I told you about.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm on the stage, this big, humongous theater. I'm in Peekskill, New York, and the owner of the company hired me to do the comedy, based on Andrea's recommendation. Andrea had never seen me do comedy.
Oh my goodness.
But he didn't know that. He thought that she had seen me do stand-up and that's why she was recommending me. So he went on her word. Afterwards, I found out he didn't see me. She didn't. Nobody had seen me ever do stand-up comedy. Well, because I told you, I'd only done it like one other time. And so here I am on a stage in theater with all these people. And I'm like, okay. And I'm doing stand-up and I killed, praise God. But it was like, yeah. And I was just like, wow, this is what this is. And like being on these huge stages with these sold out theaters, it's just, it's so humbling and mind blowing. And just like, okay, God, you can do the impossible. Like, yeah. Even when nobody has seen you do stand up before and they hired you to do stand up. I mean, apparently that's a thing. So you should have seen me. I think it was last year. No, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago. I had done my first comedy club show. At DC Improv. I like how
you're holding your face.
Because I was like terrified because I'd never done a comedy club. I'd only done theaters. Mm. So I learned quickly because, again, you know from my vocabulary, my comedy vocabulary or lack thereof, I didn't even know what a set was. So for me to be behind stage, listen to this. It's so crazy. I am literally in the green room with these other comics who've been comics for 20 some years plus. And I'm like, oh, okay. So like, how is this going to go? And they're like, oh, don't be nervous or whatever. I was like, yeah, no, I'm just so nervous because I've only done theaters. To say,
again, if you're the inside, eye rolls,
you could like, they're like, who is this chick? Like, what is she? Yeah, it's crazy.
So laughers, another inside reason why that's crazy is a typical journey would be you do open mics and you do classes and or both. Then you work through an open mic circuit and you make connections. And then you usually start on smaller shows that eventually get you on bigger shows. And so it's very significant that our guest Leslie Robb told a bunch of comedy veterans that she doesn't know how it works because she's been on all these theater stages.
So embarrassing.
This is why she is holding her face.
So now, like, my friends who are like seasoned stand-up comics are like, well, you know, Leslie, she's only done theater. I'm like, stop. That's not—
I would totally do that to you too.
And I was like, that's not what I meant.
Like, excuse me, I haven't been on sold out tours from
there's
my
no
third
coming back
gig
from that.
On.
There was no coming back from that. Oh, man.
What are we going to do with you, Leslie Robb?
Pray for me. Just do that. Because you're like, this chick is insane. And I am. Just a tad.
Just
ask
a
my
tad.
Therapist.
Gonna ask mine, too. Legit. I don't think we go to the same one, but they might have a lot of the same things to say.
Yes. I remember telling my sister, I was like, I think my therapist probably drinks after I leave. She's probably like, dear Lord.
I thought about that too. Yeah. She's just like the calm in my storm, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Same.
It's so good. It's been amazing. Just a little side note, laughers, if you have been feeling like you should go see a therapist or go see somebody and you haven't yet, I would just say do it.
Mm-hmm. You'll never regret it. I used to be like toying around with the idea. Maybe no, it's necessary. Yeah,
it is. It can really help. Yeah. And you need that outside.
It makes such a difference.
Person to share with, bounce off, figure out what was normal and not normal. Cause I have a trauma background too.
Mm-hmm.
And you grow, when you're a kid and you grow up in an environment, you don't know any other environment.
Yeah.
So you think that's the way it is.
I thought it was normal for my childhood to be the way it was.
Right. Because how would you not know? And there's so many people that have those backgrounds and they don't know any different. And you do kind of get a clue. My husband and I were just talking about that the other day. You go off to college, right? You start making other friends. They start sharing their family with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you sometimes will find yourself going, wait, what? That?
Yeah, you're like,
that's not what it was for me.
And then you start being like, wait, that's not normal? Wait, what? You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally get it.
Totally. So just a side note of encouragement.
Yes.
From us about that. I would like to talk more about your writing and the development of your writing more and how it has evolved over the last few years. You clearly made a shift from the churchy comedy to the teacher comedy. But now, with the Epic Ladies Tours, a bit of not necessarily ministry comedy. Let's put it that way. I think that's fair to say. Yeah. So how has that evolved for you more specifically?
Well, I honestly do still do some of my teacher stuff at my Epic events. I just now weave in my other stuff as well. So it's a good balance. I pick and choose. But yeah, as far as writing, I hate it with a passion writing. I hate it. So like what I do is if I find something funny, I'll just write it down and then be like, maybe one day I'll incorporate it. and then I will, or if one of my reels go viral, I've started using my reels, which are my videos, my short form videos on my social media as like kind of like an open mic. Like I'll make a joke that I'm going to have and I'll do it as a reel or a video. And if it goes viral, I use that as well in my comedy.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm actually trying to, this is so funny, again, all new stuff here. Trying to incorporate more sketch into my set. So
really
do the first 30 minutes as comedy and then do another as sketch, and not sketch like full on costumes and all the things, but almost kind of like not improv either because it's prepared, but it's more of like some of my video stuff, but like acting it out.
That's neat.
Yeah. So I'm trying to do a mix of kind of both. So we'll see how it goes. I'm doing it for the first time this weekend at a show I'm doing a 2-night show in Indiana at a new club called Funny Farm Comedy Club. Okay. So I'm doing a show on Friday night and Saturday night there. So this will be the first time I've incorporated all this, and we'll see how it goes.
Oh. And
we'll see what happens.
I'm sure it will go swimmingly.
And the best part about it is, like, I always tell people, they're like stressed out about it. Like, oh my gosh, what if I forget this part of my set? What if I
do
this?
They don't know. Like, you just roll with it. That's the beauty of comedy. Fun. Just have fun. That's why I'm always saying that to myself. And I also, as a performer, I have that self-talk. But also with the comics, pre-comic call meeting for the show. So it's like, brought you all here because you're talented and I believe in you. I wouldn't have if I didn't think so. So just have fun. Because when you're having fun, they feel it and they're having even more fun. So. Yeah.
And that's why I always say, like, that's so funny you say the same thing. I say something similar to my Epic ladies, the comics that I have on. I told them, I said, I picked you not because I wanted to micromanage you. I picked you because I don't have to micromanage you.
Yes. Like, I totally agree with that.
Like, I don't want to have to do that. That's another task. I don't want to have to do that. So.
I never want to get into the writing of another comic. But, we do the clean to PG-13. So some of our rated R comics that come and do the PG-13, especially if it's a first time on our show, because people have different definitions, honestly, of what that means. Right. They just want to clarify with me. I just tell them what the boundaries are, but I won't get into any, well, how about this or whatever. I was like, you know, I trust you. So here's what it is. And I know you're going to do a fabulous job. And they do. And they do.
And the ones who get nervous, I was like, just have fun.
Yeah.
I'm also trying crowd work for the first time this weekend. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, yeah. So we started leaning into that. And it's fun. It's scary at first, for sure. At least it was for us. I won't speak for everyone. But it is common to be nervous about that.
and I do know what crowd work means.
So you know what a set is. You know what crowd work means.
Exactly.
So you're making some progress.
I'm getting there. I'm learning.
I'm looking forward to that. Crowd work is so interesting. And that's about connection too.
Yeah.
It's just being, it's mostly about being present and connecting.
Yeah, and knowing what to ask and like, you know, just kind of how to open that up. It's fun.
Yes, it is fun. I think people are coming to a comedy show because they want to have fun.
Right. Or else why come?
Right?
Yeah.
So there.
So I, the more I do that, like you said, you just go out and have fun. Like the more you do that, it's just like, it's never a bomb because I'm just having fun. Like, even if I bomb, I have fun with that. I'm like, okay, so you didn't think that was funny. Okay. So maybe I need to mix this up a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, are you, you didn't like that one, but okay. How about this
noted.
Or whatever you were saying in the joke, not a big whatever, fill in blank crowd. And that can be funny too. You know?
Yeah.
Lots it's of just different like, just ways you can play time. With it. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you are very open about your faith and being a person of faith. How does that intersect with your creative process, your branding, and how you connect with the audience?
So on a stage, it's just more of like the way that my faith kind of incorporates in it, just because of my gift of exhortation, which makes sense as a comic.
Oh, we might need a definition teacher.
Okay. So my what I've gathered has to be the definition, because apparently I'm a teacher who's not very bright. Okay. All right. So. Anyway, so
I was like, I might have to look that up. I'm just gonna ask her.
Legit,
I'm not too proud to ask. And if I'm thinking that, somebody else is listening is thinking, what is that
exactly?
Okay,
so the gift of exhortation is the gift of encouragement, and so bringing light and joy and encouragement and happiness, like that's what an encourager. I mean, a person who has the gift of exhortation does. But in addition to being the person who encourages, you also motivate and challenge people to be the best of themselves. And so that is truly it fuels me. It gives me so much joy to do that. Like, it is my passion, is to love on people and to make them laugh and brighten their day. Because like I always say, somebody's on the edge of losing it. And we don't know who it is. So if I can leave people better than I found them, that is truly my goal. And so when I'm on a stage, that gift of exhortation just illuminates, because I'm like, guys, laugh at me. Like, let's just have fun. Like, even if you don't laugh at me, let's laugh together. Like, let's just have a good time. And so that in and of itself allows me to like, the breaks that nervous anxiety, anxious stage fright type thing, it breaks because I know that this is what God has gifted me to do. This is what he's called me to do. So I'm like, hey, listen, I'm just giving you an opportunity to laugh. It's up to you to laugh. So if you don't want to laugh, that's on you. So that having that encouragement through my faith is what helps drive me. But online, I often incorporate my faith in some of my videos to do the whole, like, my friend, I think she said the word is dichotomy, where you go from one funny thing and you shift it to a different topic altogether. So, and also, it's also called misdirection or redirection when it comes to comedy. But yeah, so I do that. And so I incorporate it in my videos. And then also in my morning trivia, I do a morning show in the mornings on my stories. And so I start off with morning trivia. And then I added a little piece of faith in there by doing a Bible verse of the day. So I do morning trivia. It's just random, fun, general trivia, just having fun. And then after that, I do a little bit of a Bible verse at the end. So yeah, just a little taste. So
little taste. I love that. Mm-hmm. You are living some dreams right now. Yeah.
100%.
How does that feel?
Amazing. It's amazing. Like, the goal was to eventually get a manager, and now I have my manager, I have my agent. Like, it's just, I can't ask for enough. Like, God is just amazing. So.
Wow. So now what do you dream of doing next? Is it TV, a comedy special, new character, a creative project?
Honestly, just living my best life, doing what I'm doing. Like, if I just keep booking shows, if I keep, just being an encouragement, and like, I love keynote speaking. That's also part of what I do. I do a lot of keynote speaking. That is by far my favorite thing to do over stand up, believe it or not. I don't
really
stand up is nice. Keynote is my goal. Like, being a motivational speaker. That in and of itself.
Okay, for
is
people
like,
listening, audio version, she mouths out, "Oh my God." That's if you're not watching her visually, that's what she just did.
That is the goal. Like to be a motivational speaker on stages worldwide. Oh my gosh. Give it to me.
You'd be a funny motivational speaker.
And that's what I call myself. I don't call myself a stand-up comedian, believe it or not. I call myself a comedic speaker. That's what I call myself.
Oh, I like that's good.
Mm-hmm. A comedic speaker. So yeah.
Oh, comedic
speakers. That's my favorite. It's my favorite.
Oh yeah. I enjoy deep and intellectual presentations too that are on the serious side. And also very much appreciate speakers that can bring in great sense of humor into their message as well. That's a gift.
Yeah. So I have the keynote speaking piece. I have the teacher stand-up comedy piece and then the teacher training piece. So teachers are required to complete a certain amount of professional development or training each year. Mm-hmm. And so I've created my own professional development training and course for teachers. So I'm able to do that as well. So, yeah.
Again, see, back to the beginning, what is it that you don't do? I think I said that before we pressed record.
Oh, man, a little mix of everything.
Yeah, you got a lot going on there. And you
I love it.
You are doing great. And you built a strong online presence.
Yes.
With through your social media. I don't remember how many thousands of followers you are at now. Is it 80,000 or so? I don't know.
Instagram, I think it's... No, it's not more than that. Okay. I think on Instagram, it's 70-something. And then...
Okay. I'm being prophetic, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it. I receive it. I receive all of that.
And what role does your social media play into connecting with your fans? And how do you keep it real on the platforms?
That's actually what most of the teachers comment and say is that the fact that I keep it real, it makes them feel like they're not alone. Because, you know, a lot of times, especially in the teacher world, a lot of times we feel like the need to like show off or compete. Mm. And it's like, what are we competing for? Like, we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I'm just very straightforward. And like you, I said, I'm honest. I'm transparent. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm doing my ministry or whether I'm doing teacher comedy. I'm just like, listen, yeah, that kid is smarter than me. I didn't even know what dance was, but the kid did and I pretended I did. So
here we are.
So I'm just very straightforward and very honest. And a lot of teachers appreciate that because they don't get to see, you know, teachers at that vulnerable because of that perceived perfectionism. Again, not just with Christianity, but even in the world of teaching. So
I think it bleeds through just about every profession and culture and community.
For sure.
You know, part of that is I feel we want to belong and fit in. Mm-hmm. And so
we want to find our place.
I want to find our place and then we'll have fear of judgment. Oh, I'm not quite like the rest of the group. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
one of these things is not like the other. And it usually is me.
I feel you on that. Yet, if we can find that place to work through that, it's what's unique about us that people love the most.
It's so true.
It is so true. And we do we teach comedy classes, right? And it's coming to mind that our differences are actually beautiful. So I'll take this last comedy cohort for example. We had a very dry, deadpan, introverted comic who has more of a Steve Wright rhythm and affect to him. You know, the king of one line. Well, Mitch Hedberg, who would argue, is the king of one liners. But anyway, aside all of that, the point is he isn't very energetic, but his comedy and his natural affect was amazing. And we're going through the classes about 2 weeks in. He's like, I just feel like I should be, you know, more energetic, like so-and-so, or maybe you, pointing to me. And I was like, oh, no. We don't want to do that at all.
Mm-mm.
We want you to show up on stage because your natural funny is the funniest.
That's so true.
What's going to bless the audience the most. The more you are, mm-hmm. The audience will feel that and connect with it and enjoy your comedy more. And the crazy thing about audiences is they very quickly can tell if you're authentic or inauthentic. So you just want to be the authentic you that you are. The next week, he came with his 5 minutes he was getting ready to do for the showcase, moving in that direction. And then he got to the showcase and he freaking slayed it. He was amazing.
That's awesome. And that's how it should be.
Yeah.
Because you can't be, I was one of those comics who were like studying this person and that person. And I was like, oh, I want to be that person. Or I want to be like, it doesn't work. You can only maintain that facade for so long.
Mm-hmm. If it's not you, but if you're physical, lean in being physical. If you're actually grumpy, lean into being grumpy, right?
Yeah.
If you're whatever it is, it's gonna be hilarious. Just lean in. It's scary though, like anything we all face in our different professions and what we strive for. Moving into the land of what makes you uncomfortable actually bring more of your authentic self out.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So true.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And then here we are doing the comedy. And you are inspiring a lot of comics, which I love. Your whole natural gift totally fits in with all of that. What advice would you give to someone afraid to start comedy because they think maybe it's too late or they're too different or they're too afraid? Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to?
I would tell them to use all of that as fuel, like literally use that as fuel to do what it is that you feel like you should be doing when it comes to comedy. Like when it comes to the fear part, do it scared. Like people always say, do it scared. Rip the Band-Aid off and do it scared. It's just because you're never going to be where you need to be to make you do it. You know what I mean? Like, well, I just need to make sure I have a little bit more of this or I practice a little bit more. No, just do it. Like, just do it. If you think that it's too late, it's never too late. Every day above ground, it is an opportunity. Like,
I love that.
You're alive. You know, you'd be surprised at the amount of comics who didn't excel until they were older. So literally, they get more comfortable. And you know how my mom always says, the older you get, the less you care. So
yeah,
makes you more comfortable. But yeah, I would say that no matter what the challenge is that's preventing you or you feel that it's in your way, like stumble past that, like push past it, do it scared, do it clumsy, do it whatever, just do it. Mm-hmm. And then you can perfect it after. Just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not, and I take back the word perfect because it's never going to be perfect, but you can always adapt it to fit, you know, what works for you. And you're going to pivot a lot with comedy.
You are.
Look at me. I pivoted from Christian to maybe just clean to just, and then now teacher. Like it's going to take you time to figure out your niche and what works for you. Just keep pivoting. Just don't give up. I think it was, somebody that I met through, I think you actually, her name is Angela Moore.
Oh yeah. Angela Moore.
Yeah. She says she has this
smile.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
She has a quote in the bottom of her email that says, I want to see what happens if I don't give up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's honestly what it comes down to. Just do it. Just do it. Whatever state you're in, just do it. Like state of mind, state of being, whatever, just do it.
I agree with that 100%. I often say, you know, I don't want to not know the answer to what if.
That's good. I've never heard it that way. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way you find out is by doing just that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And you know what? If it doesn't turn out like you thought... You got a story to tell.
Exactly. One way or the other. Exactly. So it's going to help me one way or the other.
You know, and if it's really bad, you just go home and drive home. Go, what did we learn from this?
Yes. Where do we go from here?
That's so fun. I love this time we've had together so much. It's good. Sharing so much good stuff. Now, we can't leave and get out of here without giving the laughers some way to follow you so they can get all excited about you coming to the Massanutten Resorts Comedy Club.
Yes.
And after that, so you're going to want to get your tickets to June 12th. We're actually over the summer at Massanutten Comedy Club. You're hearing it here first, Inside Scoop.
Yes.
That during the summer from June 12th to August 28th, the Comedy Club nights at Massanutten Resort will be on Thursdays. And guess what the first Thursday is that is happening? With Miss Leslie Robb
as
our headliner in the bigger room. So come check out the whole new vibe for the summer. They're going to have a buffet dinner that you can purchase. It'll be at 6 o'clock, and then the comedy will show will start at 7. So you're just not going to want to miss it. It's going to be a great night out on a Thursday, whether you're a guest at the resort or a local. So definitely do that. And you can check her out more before she gets here, because she's going to share right now with you how to follow her on social media or otherwise, her website and all those things. So Leslie, take it away.
Yeah. So on all platforms, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and Threads, you can find me at Leslie Robb Comedy. On Facebook, and only Facebook, because I had typed my username in once and then messed up and forgot a letter. So now it has to be Leslie Robb's Comedy. Gotta love it. And then my website, if you're like, I have no idea what you just said, it's okay, because at leslierobb.com, all of my social media links are there, as well as any other information that you need. So leslierobb.com is your source for it all. So
there it is. What a great summary. All back to your website. I'm loving that so much. And thank you, Leslie, for coming on our podcast today again after 4 years.
Oh, well, I thank you for having me back.
Oh, this is so great. And this time you get to be on, you know, of course, all the audio platforms, but now YouTube also.
Yeah.
Little upgrade. That's exciting. Yes. Loved you sharing your story. Love sharing your encouragement and your infectious positive energy. So thanks again for coming on the show, Leslie. I appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
Yes. And laughers, thanks for tuning in today. It has been an amazing journey to just, I was so scared, speaking of scared, to even just flip on the on button for the very first podcast. And look at us now, because of you, we keep growing, we keep making things happen. So if you liked and heard what you did today, please like, share, and give this podcast some love and tell a friend about it. We would really appreciate that. And also remember, you can get that free audiobook from Audible when you sign up for a free trial. We'll get a little kickback, and that helps us continue to grow this podcast. So please check that out. That link is in the show notes. And also, lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womack and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomacks.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.